John chapter 20, verse 22. I'm going to take this one step further. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now, notice when they received the Holy Ghost, the very first instruction he gave them upon receiving the Holy Ghost. Amazing. Verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, or you loose, you let go, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now that word for sins is a Greek word, hamantero. It's the exact same word as Matthew chapter 18. Then go over to Matthew 18. Verse 15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against you, that is the exact same word as John chapter 20, verse 23's word for sin. It's hamantero. It means trespass. Whoever's trespasses you remit, they will be remitted. Whatever ones you retain will be retained. And this is where we receive the revelation that if a trespass, a betrayal, a rejection, an offense, if these things take place in our life and we do not properly forgive from the heart, guess what? It gets retained. If it's not remitted properly, the trespass gets retained. Many times when a trespass is retained, also the violation's retained. And that's where people can have a short fuse, very angry, ill-tempered. That temper just goes, whoosh. It doesn't take much to set somebody off because there's retained offense there. And all you have to do is just get around too close to them and will come out. It's because all that's retained there and the emotions suppressed and retained, and many times violation comes with it. And that causes defilement. And when you retain multiple people in multiple situations, certain things can get defiled. That's why it says, guard your heart with all diligence. From it flows the issues of life. If the issues of life are not flowing, stagnation is a result. The issues of life cannot flow where there is retained offense, retained trespass. The word trespass is when you trespass on someone's land, you're violating their land. We've been violated in many ways. We've been violated verbally. We've been violated physically sometimes, some people sexually, spiritually. We live in a world where offenses will come. And the Lord's asking us to do a whole lot more than just forgive in the natural. You can't deal with this in the natural because it's spiritual things that are being bound. When that person's retained to you, they go with you. That person was retained, bound. In fact, here in Matthew 18, he talks about when a person's trespassed against you, go to them. Now, one thing I want to help you with, before you start going to somebody, if you're not whole and you haven't forgiven them, I'm going to teach you where to go first. I'm going to teach you more about how to go to the throne of grace. More importantly, how to wash their feet in the throne of grace. Very powerful. If you're not whole and you go to them, you can actually start an argument real fast. Because a lot of times, if you're still hurt, they're still indebted to you interiorly. And if you're indebted to me, you're going to pay. I want your apology. A lot of times, you're not going to get that from them. Sometimes you want them to suffer. If I'm suffering, you're going to suffer. That's a hard thing in the kingdom of God when someone deeply hurts you and you see them out there getting blessed by the Lord and you're still carrying the wound. And you're the deep spiritual one. And yet God is just blessing them and favoring them, and it hurts you to see God doing that. How can you do that when they did that to me? Because they already dropped you a long time ago. You're not even on their slate anymore, but they're all over your slate because you never loosed them. You've retained them. Some of you got fathers and mothers. You've never let go of what happened. And that stuff will hurt, and it gets retained. Friends. relationships, all kinds of defilement. When someone defiles your land and that gets locked in, the defilement gets locked in. When defilement gets locked into you, you can't make things go right. You can do everything right. You can be a person of prayer. You can put on the church face. You can serve in the church. But man, to get things to go right in your life, it's just not in harmony. Everything's out of sort and you're always wondering, why is all this? Why can't it just happen for me? I know a person that loves God that would do anything for God. Pray, fast, seek God. This particular person won't touch an offense that happened to him from his father. Just won't touch it. Won't go there. And it's amazing what we will and won't do, but we don't let the Holy Spirit get into these areas. It's going to cause trouble. Because the Father cannot forgive us. Guess what? The Holy Spirit gets bound and locked in. Now notice what he says. Go to your brother if he's trespassed against you. I'm going to tell you what to do before you go to your brother. I would let the Holy Spirit orchestrate that until you get this dealt with in the Spirit first. Amen? After he says, go to your brother, look at verse 18. Verily I say to you, whatsoever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. You know what he's talking about there? He's not talking about devil. I bind you! Because he's talking about having bound a trespass on the earth. It gets bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed out of you gets loosed in heaven. Booyah. Whatever you remit will be remitted. Whatever you retain will be retained. Whatever you let go will be let go. Whatever you retain will be retained. The biggest number one problem in the body of Christ today is to retain trespasses, retain violation that's produced defilement in their life, and they are doing everything possible to get God to move for them, except this. But many times people are trying to forgive in the flesh. I forgive them, Father, but you can't work this up in the natural. You got to present them before the throne of grace. That's why he says, therefore, boldly before the throne of grace. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him we have to do. Therefore, let us come boldly in the throne of grace, because in the throne of grace, there's nothing hidden. You can't go to the throne of grace and be hidden at the same time. It's going to come into the light, because the throne of grace is a spiritual place where Jesus is going to administrate healing, forgiveness, and a loosing of that situation. He is your intercessor. The Holy Spirit is your lawyer. They're there to help you, not to condemn you. They're going to help you walk through this with this person. In fact, when they're done with you, you will have love for somebody that you've probably hated all your life, or you've had a tremendous resentment for. With the time you're done, you will totally fall in love with him, because he's going to add his love to the situation. He's not asking you to do this in the natural. All right? With that in mind, go over to John 13. Oh, we're going to be so blessed. God's going to start answering some of the big stuff. Amen? How many want the big stuff answered? You know why? You think he's holding back? You know what's holding him back? Retain stuff. I'll tell you, that's why we're dedicating 21 days during the fast. We're going to spend time loving these people. We're going to do it the way the Lord said to do it. What did he say? I say unto you, love your enemies. How are you going to love an enemy? Most of the time your enemy won't talk to you. You're not talking to them. So how are you going to love them? Pray for those that despitefully use you. There will people will come into your life. If you don't believe me, just join the ministry. You will have people despitefully use you. It's going to happen. You don't have to be in a ministry for someone to despitefully use you. Bless those that persecute you. Wow. Do good. We're going to spend time blessing. But we're not going to just say, Father, I bless them, amen. We're going to bring them to the throne of grace, a trespass before the throne of grace, where Jesus will be our mediator, where Jesus will be our intercessor, the Holy Spirit will be our lawyer, and they're going to help us find healing. How do you know? Because they're doing it every day with me. And anybody I know that'll just venture in faith with this situation. You got to go by faith and believe they are with you. When you bring them before the throne of grace, all things are naked and open. He's going to show you your heart. You're going to find forgiveness for you. You might have had a part to play. You might not be as righteous as you thought you were. In fact, when he's done with you, you'll find out. It's almost the judgment seat of Christ and the throne of grace at the same time. Because something's going to heal you, but to heal you, you got to obtain forgiveness. And then after he heals you, you're going to present that one party that's destroyed your life. It might be 100 of them. You're going to present them and find healing for the relationship. Healing for the trespass. Forgiveness for the trespass. And God's not only going to loose you, he's going to loose them too. And I'm going to show you one of the great things that happens when you're in the throne of grace on the behalf of this party. Believe me, if you have never experienced the love of God, start loving your enemy in the throne of grace, and I promise you it won't be long. He'll show up. It's one of the highest levels of God's operation and most easy to obtain. Because when you decide by faith you're going to love your enemy, God's love will be all over you. He's going to help you do this. That's why if you've tried to obtain forgiveness and you've not gotten them up into there where God can deal with the whole situation in the courtroom of heaven, you're just doing things in the natural. This is a spiritual offense. You can't deal with it in the natural. You don't forgive from the head. It has to be from the part of you that everything's flowing through. You're going to have to loose them. You're going to have to forgive and loose them. Now I want you to watch what Jesus did. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. John 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Here's a betrayal. How many of you know that Jesus saw all this before it happened? He knew that man. In fact, Psalms 41 said, my own familiar friend lifted his heel against me. That was prophetically speaking, Judas was going to lift his heel against Jesus. This betrayal was going to cost his life, and he knew it. Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself after that he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. It's going to be the first church of the foot washing. You're going to find you're going to wash people's feet in the spirit a whole lot more than you're in the natural. He'll wipe them with a towel and therewith he's girded. And he cometh to him, Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He said, what I do, you don't know what I'm doing right now, Simon. But you will know hereafter. And Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. So Peter has a change of heart. Said, then, Lord, not my feet only, my hands, my head, wash all of me. Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean. You're already clean, Peter, but not all. Notice what he says. Verse 10, you are clean, but not all of you. I'm washing all of your feet as an example, but there's really only one that I'm washing. But if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in what I'm doing here, because I'm trying to teach you how you're going to handle betrayal in the future, how you're going to handle persecution, how you're going to handle rejection. This is my own familiar friend here that's about to lift his heel against me, Psalms 41. You're all clean, but not all. Verse 11, how do you know? For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, you are not all clean. You see, what he was doing in the foot washing was dealing with the betrayal before it ever happened. Most of us have to deal with betrayal after it happens, because we don't see like he sees. Most of us get the blind side. And then after we got to start processing, once we got blindsided, everyone say amen. We had to start processing, and the last thing we want to do is go wash their feet. What if it was your own familiar friend? You know he's about to lift his heel and it's going to cost your life. So after he had washed their feet, verse 12, and taken his garments and was set down again, he says, do you know what I've done to you? You know what's going on here? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then be your Lord and master, woo, and wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, because you're going to have plenty of chances to be offended in this world. And I'm showing you sovereignly as your master how to handle such things. For I've given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you what? Do them. Look at this, verse 18. Very important. I speak not of you all. I'm not washing really all your feet. There's only one that's unclean in this room. He's already entered in his heart what he's going to do. But I'm going to wash his feet before he does it. Most of us are going to wash the feet after. Who's he washing the feet of? His betrayer. I speak not of you all, for I know whom I've chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted his heel against me. That's why he washed the feet. Because the heel was being lifted against him for betrayal. He washed the feet of his betrayer before it happened. He was not going to carry anything into the cross to obtain redemption to you and I. Do you think he could have afforded to have a bound offense walking in to take our sins of the world upon him? Now I tell you, it come to pass that when it's come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Now look at verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, then said unto Jesus, look at this. He looses him to go do it. That thou doest, do quickly. Go. Betray me. Do you realize he could have kept him there? He had the power to keep that man. But he wasn't doing this for himself. He entered into the betrayal as the innocent lamb. He knew he was going to die. But he was the innocent lamb that was going to accept the betrayal for every one of us. And to accept that betrayal, he died the penalty for every one of us. He substituted his life in the ultimate fruit of betrayal, death. He received the death of that betrayal, washed his feet before he did it. So every time you and I have a betrayal that's been assigned against us, guess what? The power of that has already been dealt with. That betrayal does not have its right to relive in your life again. It can freely pass over to the master because he paid the price for it. Isn't that awesome? Now, when he said, if I done this to you, you do this to one another. Let me ask you a question. Any of you been betrayed? Raise your hand. Do you actually think you could go to your betrayer with a wash tub and a rag? I'm here to wash your feet. How many people you think you'd get past the door? Jesus washed his feet because he had not lifted the heel. He washed it before he did it. I'm going to tell you a much more effective place to wash someone's feet. Go over to Hebrews 4. If you get in there properly, tears are going to flow. You're not going to wash them with water. You're going to wash them with your tears. Yeah. That's really good. Everybody go speak for yourself, daughter of Zion. It all depends on the heart. It all depends on how much stuff's in there. It all depends on how much baggage. Right now in the natural, the last thing you're ever going to do is wash the feet of somebody. But you don't know what you're entering into because we're not taking them to a place in the natural. You are going to take your betrayer to a spiritual place where God's love is very abundant. You're going to be in two different places at the same time. You're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ and a throne of grace. I think they're both right there at the same place. the judgment seat of Christ, sometime he's going to show you. Now, if you were innocent as a child, he's not going to be dealing that part of you. He's not going to be showing you anything that you are accountable of. But many times, things happen in this world, and he's going to show you, because he's going to deal with us too, not just them. I know you're excited about this, but listen, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you, it's going to be easier than others. Some of you are going to run from it. Some of you, ain't no way. But remember, you're not going in here by yourself. And you're not going to a place where this stuff is done in the natural. The love of God will be there in a way that you've probably never known it to be. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The reason he had to divide that part of you, because parts of you can't go into the throne of grace. Your flesh doesn't have access there. Unregenerated part, you don't have access, but see, your spirit has access. So he separated and gave you access to part of you is seated with him in heavenly places. Your body's not seated with him in heavenly places. Your body still has this world system operating in it. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things, believe me, in this place we're going, all things are naked. You won't be covering anything up there. In fact, you're going to find a whole lot of things that have been covered up for a long time exposed. So the beauty of it is just you going in there. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Many of your infirmities is a direct result of bound trespasses, retained trespasses. He can be touched. He sits not as your judge. He sits as an intercessor and a mediator. But at the same time, there are things in our heart that are going to have to be looked at. If you go in there self-righteously, he'll look at that. I had no idea how much I had. Pride is being stripped away from me daily. It's unbelievable how much I had. I've never known anybody walk up and said, are you proud? Do you have pride? I've never known anybody that are prideful that believes they're prideful. I've never known a controlling personality to actually confess that they're controlling. A control freak probably doesn't know they're a control freak. It's just inherited in them. It's inherited because they have bound offense, and they're going to make sure that doesn't happen again, so they're going to control their environment and everybody around them. Many things are result because of a bound offense. And when we go before the throne of grace, one of the things I started to experience, and I want to share this in the next 5 minutes, the Lord started to tell me, he says, I want you every service to pray. Just a little bit. Most of this is going to happen with him. We're not going to spend 2 minutes with people that you've been carrying around 14 years. Do you understand that? You're going to have to spend time bringing them before the throne of grace. You got to go before the throne of grace yourself. There's many things that are going to take place. But notice what he says here in the throne of grace. We're not our priests. It cannot be touched with the feelings and the firm. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. If you're going to obtain mercy, that means you can go there imperfect. You're going to the throne of grace because he receives you there freely with all your problems. If he didn't, you wouldn't have to obtain mercy there. If you had to be perfect to go there, you couldn't get there. If you're going there to obtain mercy, surely he's not asking you to be perfect or he wouldn't give you mercy. To obtain mercy and find grace. And so what I found is presenting them, you're bringing that person because they're retained. Let me tell you something. You really need to hear this. You have no idea how close they are to you. You may have numbed it over, pushed it out. You may have seen that person in years, but when you get them in his presence in that light, they are as real to you, and they could already be dead right now. My natural father died several years ago, but when I was bringing him there, he was very alive there because I had him in me. There was a lot of issues I had with him. Well, what were they? I'll tell you what. I won't tell you my issues. You don't tell me yours. Amen. Let's just leave it at that. I'll give you one. He directly ordered that I was not to speak at his funeral. Because I was a Christian and he didn't want a Christian funeral. He wanted a Freemason funeral and he wanted Indian rituals done in his funeral. He did not want me, so to speak. But I didn't like that. That was a hard night for me. There's a lot of things when these things happen. You get over it and you go on. There's as many ways to deal. A lot of the ways we've dealt with the things in the past, when things hurt us, we run. When you quit running, you sit and you suffer. You learn to endure hardship and you suffer. Many of you have learned how to suffer and you've got to suffer for him. He calls you to do that. Most of your sufferings is trespasses. But then there's a time that we overcome. We're coming into the age of the overcomer. But God's not just asking us to suffer. He's asking us to overcome. And to overcome, you're going to have to get this thing loosed. And to get it loose, you're not going there, Father, I just loose them, get rid of them. That's not what he's after. You're going to obtain love first. You're going to love them before you try to get rid of them. I surrendered somebody this morning. He got me at 5 o'clock in the morning. I went in there. It was one of the most intense times. You know, you're in the ministry and you go through a lot, you retain a lot of things. This person, man, it hurt deep. By the time I was done, the Lord said, you can surrender them. I didn't want to surrender them. I was so head over heels in love with them. I said, Lord, I just want to do this again. He goes, we got to go on. But I had so much love for this man of God. Incredible. And before I talk about him, I didn't want to see goodness. I want to hear good things going on in that ministry. I just didn't want to hear that. I do now. I pray that God will bless it and multiply it and be fruitful. And when I hear good things, I'm saying, glory. Because you're going to obtain forgiveness. More than forgiveness, you're going to obtain love for this person. Because you're not going to lose somebody unless you love them. You can't lose an offense unless you love them. That's why true forgiveness is you're going to have to find the love of God on their behalf. To do that, you might have to wash their feet in the Spirit. Because you're going to pray over them and you're going to weep over them. When you're weeping in the throne of grace, they're very real because they're retained to you. And when they're retained, it doesn't matter if it happened 5, 10 years ago. When it's up in there, it's like it happened today. All that stuff gets open because all things are naked and open before the eyes of him on whom we have to do. And when we're there, when I first start, I just say, Father, I come to the throne of grace. I don't even choose who he's going to deal with. Sometimes you already know going in. I'd say, pick the one that wounded you the most and start there. Somebody said, well, I don't have all these issues. I said, What they're saying is, I don't want to go in there. I was praying for one person this last week. The Lord said, it's there. And I prayed for an hour and a half, didn't feel nothing. I was blessing them. See, when I bring them before the throne of grace, first thing I do is start blessing them. Start praying good things. Sometimes it's real dry. Like nothing's happening. Like, I don't have anything towards this person. It feels really awkward. You know why? Because you've walled up so much between them. You're going to have to wait for the love of God to show up. And in those times, he's going to show up. He's going to start showing you first. He's going to start dealing with you. Me, I thought we're dealing with them. He said, we're going to get to them after we get to you. The reason why you can't love them because of what you're harboring. I'm going to start coming up before the throne of grace and begin to bless. And I actually went to two other people. I said, Lord, there's nothing happening here. It's not there. And sometimes it won't be. Sometimes you need to follow him. But he kept bringing it. He'll go back to this person. I said, there is nothing there. I don't feel anything. Everything's cool. Don't look at me like you're so holy. All of a sudden, after about an hour and a half, the gate opened. And I spent literally 2 to 3 hours and weeping. Oh, that can only be induced by the Holy Spirit and by the love of God. Washing this person. And the Lord showed me the whole thing. Why my heart was the way it was and why it was hardened towards that person. And I saw it. And I'm still not finished. Some of these people you're going to have a session with, I can't take anymore, Lord. You got to know that. It's going to take a lot out of you. You're not going to always just deal with it in one little session and go on. Sometimes you're going to have to go back because he's restoring love to your heart. We just want to get it loose and go on. The reason why you want that is because it's woundedness. There's pain there. That's not what he's after. He's after the restoration of love. If you don't, you'll operate in the wrong spirit all your life. And you'll feel justified in doing it. If you operate in the wrong spirit all your life, it's all about you and the way you see things. And guess what? If you don't deal with this here, you will have to deal with it when you get to there. It'll be the first things you start dealing with. But if we will judge ourselves here and we pass through these things here, it will open the gate for God to fulfill his mandate for your life. If we live a life that's bound, we get there, we have lost a lot. And one of the things I found when you get up in there, and you're bringing them before the throne room of grace, that's why we're spending 21 days praying for people. We're not in a hurry over this thing. Sometimes you're going to have to spend time praying for somebody for love to be restored, and you're going to pray for them in the right, and you're presenting them before the throne of grace. You present the trespass before the throne of grace. You're asking God to forgive you, to forgive them. You're not only obtaining your forgiveness, you're obtaining their forgiveness too. Just like Jesus did. We see this so clearly with Stephen. In Acts 22 said, Paul or Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. He ordered them to stone him. And when the heavens opened, he said, I see the right hand of God. That's when they ordered stone him right there. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Right in the middle of dying under persecution, he looses them. He forgives them. Go over to Acts 22. Show you something pretty powerful. This is going to be some of the most glorious days of your life and some of the most difficult. I'm not going to tell you anything different. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you into this if you want to be led. If you don't, you probably won't show up here very much this month. But some people don't want that. That's just the way things are. And they're going to live with that the rest of their life. People in church these days don't get very many opportunities to deal with things like we're about to. I've been in church a long time before I ever got in the ministry, and everybody preaches on forgiveness. Well, nobody's setting aside 21 days to go in there and praying for these people and fasting and cleansing our temple. That's why we're so full of stuff. Well, you're full of a whole lot more than you know. Anyway, we'll go on from there. You don't know what's in there because you cover it up. But in the throne room or in the right hand or in the throne of grace, there's nothing covered up. He'll bring everything to light. You too. He'll show you your art and everything that everybody's been trying to tell you forever. I had a guy one time write me a note. I didn't like it very much. He was a guy that I invited in to do something very special here. And he was a visitor and he had observations about me. He wrote me a note, and I didn't like that very much at all. I thought, how's this guy coming here, a guest? I invite him in, a paid guest. Come in here and then start telling me about me. He doesn't know me. How's he ascertain all that? You know, I bound that all up in there. Of course, you wouldn't know that because I done forgot about that till this morning. I have to tell him myself just so it'll help you. The Lord brought that up to my attention. He goes, what about that letter? I said, what about that letter? He said, he wasn't all wrong. But back then, boy, I was defensive. I had helmets and pads on. when you're wounded, all that stuff, you bound all that stuff, you think inside you're justified, but boy, you've got armor on. Anybody try to talk to you about that stuff? Don't even. When we wrote my letter, I didn't like it very much, and we rehearsed that letter this morning, and I come out of that guilty. I came out of that very guilty. But then I received his forgiveness after that. And by the time I did, I prayed for that man. I love him, and I thanked him in the spirit for writing that letter. I washed his feet in the spirit, and I thanked him for writing that letter. I said, well, does he know that? No. I may not be able to get to half these people in the natural unless the Lord orchestrates that. But in the spirit, when they get to heaven, they'll know that that thing was dealt with because there'll be no record of it. Because not only God forgave me, he forgives those parties too. And it's all forgiven. We got still a long way to go. I said, Lord, I don't know really if I'm real qualified to stand up in front of these people. It's because I have a gift of revelation. With all this stuff here, there's about 100 more people in here that's more qualified than I am. He qualifies you because he calls you by grace. But I'm real glad I'm seeing all this now because I would have miserably failed him in this life when I got to heaven. I trust me on that. I would have been a miserable failure. But when you see this stuff here and you let him judge this stuff here, not only is he going to free the Holy Spirit to fulfill many things that would have not otherwise been fulfilled, when you get to heaven, you're going to hold a much higher place. And that's a fact. Amen. I told somebody this week, I walked to them, I said, you know, I've had some things going on and I'm not through processing yet, but I want to talk to you, but not yet. Because he's still processing. Amen. I want love to be fully restored, and you're going to get a whole abundance of the Father's love in there. He's here to help you. Verse 20, and when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, 22:20, I, Paul, was standing by and consenting unto his death, and I kept the raiment of them that slew him. See that blood-soaked raiment? Holy Ghost. He said, you consented unto it, Paul, you keep the blood because it's going to cry out. And he kept that blood. That blood started crying out because Stephen loosed that man in the middle of being stoned. He forgave and loosed it right in the middle of his death. Ultimate betrayals. Ultimate offenses. These men cost their life. Jesus. Stephen. And because Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost, he was able to forgive them right in the middle of it. And God put that blood right there next to him and said, you just hold on to his garment, Paul. And I'm telling you what, that blood started immediately crying out because it was loosed in the earth. It was remitted into the earth. The trespass was remitted and loose. It got loosed in heaven. And God went after Paul immediately. His next journey was Damascus, and it wasn't, I mean, within a day, half a day. He's on his way to Damascus, and the Holy Ghost jumps all over him. You know why? Because he got loosed in the earth. And the Father was free to go after Paul in heaven, and he converted him supernaturally. This will happen with some of the people. Give the Lord a hand for that. Hallelujah. But listen, when the God's through with this, they don't owe you anything. The indebtedness, they may never do anything. They may never say they're sorry. They may never have emotion one, but it doesn't matter. They are not indebted to you anymore. That's why you have to obtain the love of God on their behalf. You got to go there and start blessing them and doing good and washing their feet, presenting them daily, praying for them, praying for the goodness of God, opening your heart in the throne of grace to obtain mercy and the grace of his healing. We talked about the grace you're going to obtain. His body was broken that you could be unified, and the trespass will be healed. You'll know when it's healed. How do you know? You'll know. And the Holy Spirit will be able to loose that from your life. And when he does, it opens a brand new channel of God in your life. I venture to say some of you people, they're going to be some of the most blessed, happy, whole people on the offset of this 21 days. You're going to see things unlocked, but you've got to go in there with seriousness. You're going to have to let the Lord search your heart with his candle, not your candle, because your mind is never going to show you your faults. You can walk around justified all day long, blame everybody else for your trouble. But when you get under his light, he will clear all that out. You will not be justified by anything. If you stand self-righteous and justifying everything and blaming on somebody else, you've got very deep issues that you're going to have to let him deal with. Because all you're doing is covering over and exerting the blame to somebody else. And you're not that holy. I wasn't that holy either. I'm talking to me too. Amen. All right, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Carmen, come up here. We're going to receive this testimony, and then we're going to pray a couple minutes. And I hope this has not been too uncomfortable a service. It'll get more comfortable as you go when you start loosing some of this stuff. She has a tremendous, because God visited her in a dream with this. Powerful lady right here.
Praise the Lord. The first part was that last Thursday you had us go through the prayer of, you know, releasing people. I went home, and even on the way home, I was thinking about one thing about that I'm picking up from this. You don't have to go digging. The Holy Spirit will tell you. He will bring those that you need to be dealing with. That's number one. And so here I was thinking about, okay, who? But here comes this one person. And a longtime friendship, hadn't spoken the last maybe 6 months or so. So I started just releasing her and then blessing her. And just the next thing I know is a New Year's Eve. And I get a call like 2-3 hours before midnight. She said the Lord told her that she couldn't go into the new year without calling me. And so I just want to testify that when we release them, there is an impact on their lives. Some we'll see immediately, and some it'll take time. Some are not at the place where they know how to respond, but those that can, they will respond. There's an impact in their lives. The other thing that happened, this was on Tuesday morning, and I want to tell you how wonderful God is, that we're not aware, but we're seeking God, and we want God to move in our lives. And if you've been in the Word and you know the Word and you teach the Word and you do seminars, you do revivals, you do all these things, you give it out. But there's things in your lives, right, Pastor? There's things in us that sometimes we're just not fully aware. And we grasp the Word, but we don't grasp all of it for what we need. And I know that God, during that dream, he took me through a process. I was receiving from the Lord, and I'm not going to give you everything, but I'm going to give you the gist, and this is the point. He got me through the process of that dream to the very end of that dream. And at that end of that dream, the spotlight was turned on me. And at that point is when I saw the pain. He took me through that whole dream. Oh, yeah, I see that, I see that. But when he got to that point, I see that. It was pointing at me. And I saw, but when I got to that place, and I want to talk to you about how he's talking about us forgiving, but unless we address the pain. And when I got to that point in that dream, it was so painful and it was so deep that I couldn't hardly sustain it. It was so deep, and it was from way in childhood that I had buried that thing because the anger and the hate was toward God. And I couldn't face that. But the pain was so deep, I felt betrayed by God. And I want to share with you, he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And I could see in the process of my life, that deep-seated, so deep there. Though I understood, I did not understand. Though I saw, I did not perceive. Until God's Holy Spirit in the dream. And in the dream, I came out of the dream. And out of the dream, I said, Holy Spirit, you gotta heal me. And the presence of God was so strong. And the pain that I had buried down deep in my heart, in the very crevices of wherever the depths of my soul was, God's Holy Spirit came. He's not finished, and I know this, because that was just like one little piece that I could handle for that moment. Because it was so, I kid you not, physically I couldn't hardly stand it. Mentally, I couldn't hardly stand it. It was so devastating. But God, I'm here to stand before you to demonstrate and be a reflection or an example of the wonderful grace, the wonderful mercy of God, that you can preach his word. You can set a word out and get people delivered. You can pray for people and they'd be healed. You can give it out. But we need to. And God is doing a mighty thing in my life. And I'm grateful for the Lord doing that in my life. And I know that I stand before you that that was just but a beginning part. He's not finished. I know this in my heart. There's still something more. But I'm telling you, you do feel free. There is a freedom. Even in my praise and worship time with God is freer. It's clearer. And there was a challenge. Even after that, something happened between my boss and I. And I was just like, okay. But it comes from that deep-seated thing where I easily could go to that realm because of that thing. And I saw it and I said, Lord, I yield to you. I submit unto your mighty hand. I expect your Holy Spirit to help me because I don't do this in my strength. I do this in your strength. It's your blood that bought me and enables me to do this. And in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit. And you know, there's that song that says, God, arise in me. Arise in me, for you are in me, God. It's your Holy Spirit that does it. And God, I'm telling you, he's moving. He is moving. And I'm so grateful. And this is the last thing I'm going to say. That we are under a leadership, because whatever's on the leadership will come to the people. And I thank God that what is coming to place here as far as healing in the soulish realm to bring deliverance, and that mantle that's on them to bring financial breakthrough, to bring the kingdom of God further on because of that financial breakthrough. I'm telling you, I am grateful I'm here. Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Just give her a hand. You know, if you're experiencing a sense of excitement about what you are hearing, it's a result of the Lord. He's priming the pump. You know, we're earthen vessels. And sometimes, as Pastor Larry was saying, you don't just rush into these things. I mean, when we've done sozo, people are motivated because of pain and desperation. But this is such a holy invitation of grace to step in to that place with the Lord that he has prepared for you, because the heart is very complicated. It's so multifaceted, and there's so many rooms in there, and often we just shut the rooms of our heart from experiences that we had even when we were little children, whether it was divorce or abandonment, feeling orphaned, you know, abuse. This is a priming of the pump, because the rivers of his Holy Spirit have to flow through us, and it's going to be clean rivers of his water flowing through us and cleansing us and bringing healing to those areas that are within us. And you know, as earthen vessels, often through the periods of time that we go on, you can often gloss over the situation. But he's saying, no, come back, my child, because I want to go deeper and deeper and deeper still. And earthen vessels, we harden our hearts. You know, just sometimes to cope and survive and just kind of move on. And then you forget that experience. But the most important thing is going in there and out of your heart, releasing that forgiveness to that person that hurt you. But moreover, taking into account your own sin, your part. When there's conflict in relationships, what's my part in that? And recognizing that and weeping with the tears and the washing and the healing of those tears that go flow over those wounds deep inside. And, you know, the heart, it's the center of our emotions. So if you're experiencing that peace and that calm, this may not be something that you need. I mean, the Lord may be having you intercede for other people. But if you've experienced where your emotions are up and down and sometimes all over the place and you're sharp with your tongue or impatient or finding that you're angry 1 minute and happy the next, I mean, the Lord's looking to bring us into that place of the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit abound in your account, that love, that joy, that peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Doesn't that just sound so beautiful? Don't you want that on your life, on your tree, that life that comes out of you? those fruit, that fruit on your life. So this is an invitation to go in. And if we have that denial in our heart, oh, this isn't for me, I don't have anything, keep presenting yourself, that living sacrifice. Romans 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice. You know, goats and the bulls, the blood of bulls, all those things have passed away. He's looking for us to present ourselves to him. He'll show you those issues in your heart, remove those iniquities, those sins. Amen. I'm just going to ask everybody to present themselves even now. I ask you to close your eyes. Humility is what's required here. Honesty. The Lord says that if you follow after my word, you are my disciples. You follow in my word, you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We are called to be children of light, that there be no darkness in us. So Holy Spirit, we invite you with the light of Christ to shine in every area of our hearts. We ask for the grace and the courage to be able to look at those things in our lives where we have sinned. We take into account with godly sorrow and repent over those sins that we have committed before you, Lord. Father, as a minister of the Lord, on behalf of everyone here, I lift them up into your throne room of grace, and we present to you our hearts in this time that we've entered into, Lord. Let us not draw back, but enter boldly into your throne room of grace, that you judge our hearts here. We give you permission, and I ask that in your heart you be in agreement with my words as we offer ourselves up as living sacrifices. You, Lord, will make it known to us those wounds that are so deep in our hearts.